You're listening to Catholic Talk Radio in Chicago and the suburbs on Relevant Radio 950 AM.
Good morning. I'm Cardinal Francis George. For the next hour, the Archdiocese of Chicago will be hosting discussions on issues, people, and associations that touch our lives. Welcome to the Catholic Community of Faith.
Welcome to Life Talk. This is your host, Margie Mansko-Breen, Director of the Respect Life Office for the Archdiocese of Chicago. And this is our monthly show where we dedicate an hour to discussing how you all can build a culture of life and how you can participate with us in doing that. And that's a culture that truly works to protect the sanctity of life from conception all the way to natural death. And I'm joined in studio by Ray Pingoy, my Youth Outreach Coordinator. Welcome, Ray.
Good morning, Margie.
So we're all up and ready to go. Are you ready?
I'm ready. It's a beautiful day out. So I heard it's supposed to get colder tomorrow. So yeah.
It's the weather where people are showing up. You know, you see them outside. It's still in shorts.
Yeah, half the people are wearing spring jackets, half the people are wearing winter jackets.
They don't, and boots and stuff, boots. And you're just wondering, okay, yeah, it's not that cold.
It's a confusing time.
Yeah, it is. It is. I think it's the that time where you can wear the thin leather jacket or something.
You can still get away with it.
But you know what really shocked me this morning was when I bought my coffee, you know, from the unnamed coffee establishment that has taken over the world. And it, you know, it's like a drug. It's a red and white cup now with snowflakes.
It's that time of the year already?
I think so. It's coming.
It's coming.
It's
up
not
soon.
Even Thanksgiving.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah.
They keep doing that. And, you know, you go to the stores.
They always skip Thanksgiving. They go right to Christmas.
Yes, they do. They go right to Christmas. Well, Thanksgiving is kind of funny because what do? Get a pumpkin latte?
Right.
You know, that's kind of gross.
Actually, I like that.
Well, all right. So enough of the joking here. But we've got a lot of serious stuff that we're going to talk about today. But it's fun too. It's a lot of fun because the whole show is dedicated to the annual pilgrimage to the March for Life in Washington D.C. And it's a lot of fun, but it's a lot of pain and suffering, right? I mean, it's a pilgrimage.
Yeah. Well, definitely, it's a pilgrimage, and we always have to remind all the teens that go, and also the chaperones that go, that it is a pilgrimage, and there's some blood and sweat.
Blood?
Well, not
no
blood,
blood.
But just just maybe sweat.
sweat.
Yeah.
Maybe a little chill. You know, some bone chilling temperatures.
It is a pilgrimage. Yes.
Yeah, or you might have a bus, the heat goes out. Oh. We'll talk about that later in the second half of the show. But in the first segment of today's show, we're going to talk about, actually, we're going to be joined by Deacon Robert Sislow and after the first break, and he's a teacher at Mother Macaulay High School for Girls. Is he the theology teacher?
I believe so. He can correct me if I'm wrong when he gets on.
Yeah. And he was also he is one part of the founding of the pro-life club there, right?
He's the moderator of the pro-life club there, which is
doing great work.
Great things.
Yeah. And they started out with what, 90 girls at the first meeting, which is phenomenal. And this year they signed up a lot more, I believe. I don't remember what the amount is, but he can tell us.
It's
definitely growing. I don't know if it's doubled, but it's almost doubled.
It's growing, yeah.
Yeah, yeah. And then during the second half of the show, we'll be joined by Scott McLarty. He's the new director, well, not so new anymore, but director of the Office for Peace and Justice. And he will share his March for Life experience when he was a teacher at St. Ignatius College Prep. And he will also clear up some confusion regarding the Catholic Campaign for Human Development. So we're really excited to have him on later on in the show. But before we get to Deacon Sislow, I'd like to just give our listeners an update on the Catholic Church's battle for rights of conscience in healthcare reform. And what we've got today is Congress is holding a hearing called do new health law mandates threaten conscience rights and access to care? And there's a press release on the USCCB's website that kind of spells it all out. But Cardinal Daniel DiNardo from the Galveston Houston Archdiocese, he sent a letter yesterday. So it's kind of breaking news here. He sent a letter yesterday to Congressman Pitts. And Congressman Pitts is the chairman of this this committee that's going to do hold this hearing. I mean, it's really on religious liberty. It's scary. It's absolutely scary what's going on, you know, that our freedoms are just slipping away. So the cardinal calls for greater conscience protection and healthcare reform, and on the eve of this subcommittee hearing. And I just want to point out some highlights that I got off of the press release. And so it was sent yesterday to Representative Joseph Pitts. He's a Republican from Pennsylvania. And Cardinal DiNardo, he urged support for Respect for Rights of Conscience. It's an act that they would like to have passed. And it's H.R. 1179 or Senate Bill 1467. And those are, and there are other measures in those two bills that address flaws in the health care reform. So what you want to do is call your representative, your congressman, and call the two senators for Illinois and tell them to vote yes for Respect for Rights of Conscience. Okay. And again, that is on the USCCB website at usccb.org. And it goes, you know, this is really to fix that Patient Protection and Affordable Care Act that was passed, what was it, last year? Well, but basically in that act, it excluded, Ray, it excluded long-standing protections for conscience rights on abortion by failing to apply the old standby, the, you know, the Hyde Amendment, the Hyde-Weldon Amendment, to the billions of dollars that this newly appropriated by this act. Also, it created like open-ended mandates that basically gave the Health and Human Services Department freedom to just make rules that could infringe on our religious liberties. And one thing that I thought was interesting is that they say there is a religious exemption, but it is so narrow that Jesus and the apostles would not be called religious enough under this test. Because they served and healed people of different religions. And then the Catholic organizations, you know, we're committed serving everybody. And we don't, you know, we don't proselytize. You know, when we, in the hospitals and stuff, when we take care of people, nurses take care of people, they just do their best, you know. They don't try to convert. And it's like they're trying to tell us, you can only hire Catholics, you can only serve Catholics, and you have to be trying to convert people.
Yeah, that's not being Catholic.
No, it's not.
That's not who we are.
We have to. We're here to serve, and even people who don't believe in God, you know, and in a way, like Saint Francis, you know, preach the gospel, you know, always, and sometimes use words, right? Yeah, I mean, I'm kind of butchering the quote, but it's basically that we preach the gospel. We spread the gospel to people of all nations through our actions. Like Mother Teresa, you know, just being a witness. And I think it's a phenomenal thing to be able to do that. And we're, you know, our freedoms are being infringed upon. And it's happening very quickly. So we've got to do something about it. So everyone who's listening, please do call your congressman and call your call our two senators, you know, Mark Kirk and Durbin.
It's not too late.
Yeah, it's not too late. And also, elections have consequences. So please do remember that when you go to vote and do the research. You know, Google, Yahoo, you know, you put in your candidates. Names and just tell them, you know, put in abortion, you know, with, you know, if it's like Mark Kirk who's running or whoever, you know, for Congress, for dog catcher. Gosh, I mean, people move up, you know, they start out as, you know, a trustee, like my husband in Lombard, you know, being trustee. You know, you start out at these lower levels, But a lot of times they work their way up and right. they end up in Congress. Mm. And by that time, and if you didn't check them out.
So they have history.
Yeah, I mean, they have a history.
Look that up.
Now, you know, but you have to ask them too and call their offices mm-hmm. and ask them, are you pro-life? Are you for abortion? That kind of stuff. So, but basically, you know, just do the, you know, it's due diligence on mm-hmm. your part as a voter. Right. So, well, we're going to need to head to a quick break. And when we return, we will be joined on the phone by Deacon Robert Sislow from Mother Macaulay High School. So stay tuned to more Life Talk.
Each night, thousands of families face homelessness in Chicago. Those families aren't just statistics. They're your neighbors, your friends. They could even be part of your own family.
I had lost my job, so I wasn't working, and I had run out of all my savings, so I ended up losing my apartment. And I went to stay with my sister, but she's got this small little itty-bitty condo, so we were all sleeping on the floor. So I started calling around for the housings and everything, and they told me to call Catholic Charities, and it just happened when I got through, Joanne answered the phone, and she goes, you know, you got me just at the right time. We're actually doing interviews right now. You want to come in? And gave me the whole rundown of everything and how the program works and everything. She goes, is this something you can do? And I looked at her and says, you're offering me a roof over my head, something more than I've got right now. And I'm willing to do anything to keep that roof over my head.
Catholic Charities of Chicago is there to provide a helping hand to the homeless. Find out how to help us help the most needy. Visit CatholicCharities.net.
Real men answer the call to the priesthood. Is God calling you?
You know, I'm honored to be a priest for the Archdiocese of Chicago. I think it's great.
There's a desire to want to give back and to help and to serve those who are especially in need.
I think there's a wonderful opportunity for us to bring good news to a world that's very much in need.
When I experience through my ministry someone being brought closer to the Lord, it's an exciting, thrilling moment.
If you feel God's call to a priestly vocation, contact us at 312-751-8298. Or visit our website at chicagopriest.com. John Paul II once said, do not be afraid. Open your heart to Christ. The deepest joy there is in life is the joy that comes from God. Jesus is the hope of the world. The people are calling. The world is calling. God is calling. Answer the call to the priesthood.
Welcome back to Life Talk. This is your host, Margie Mansko-Breen, Director of the Respect Life Office, and I'm joined in studio by Ray Pingoy, my Youth Outreach Coordinator. And at this time, I would like to welcome Deacon Robert Sislow to the show. Thank you for joining us, Deacon Sislow.
Oh, you're welcome. Good morning, Ray and Margie. How are you all this morning?
Oh, we're good. Thank you so much for joining in. Deacon Sislow, I know you have a small window for a little bit of a chat here.
Yeah, just let us know, you know, like if you've got to run, just be like, hey, man, I got to run.
All right. Very well. Very well. Thank you.
Yeah, we know that, you know, Leah Darrow visited your school, Mother Macaulay, and I just wanted to know, I'm sure the girls are talking about it, especially after the event. How was it? How, you know, what are they talking about? How did the girls find her visit there?
Well, Leah Darrow was a breath of basically fresh air for the school. Students really enjoyed hearing her real life story, you know, of fashion, of fame, of beauty, humanity, you know, her genuineness,
mm-hmm.
I mean, speaking from the heart, and ultimately her search for, you know, true truth and happiness in her life, you know. But the story kind of reminded me of basically St. Augustine's journey, and that famous quote of his that our hearts are restless until they rest in you, O Lord. And that was her journey in a way, as a prodigal daughter, and then finding the ultimate joy and fulfillment in serving God and being God's voice in the world. And it was very powerful to have a young woman, beautiful young woman, speaking, but to beautiful young woman, to basically young, young girls, I mean, actually young I mean, she women. I mean, how powerful of a story that is.
Yeah, it's a great witness for them to see her and you know, that they can change the world. You know, each and every one of them is called to change this world that we live in. And I know also that your pro-life club and Mother Macaulay, you guys joined in the Archdiocese of Chicago March for Life last year, the pilgrimage last year. Mm-hmm. And how was that for you guys? That was your first time. What, did you go before that, or was that your first march?
That was my actually first march in our schools as well.
Oh, wow.
Our Respect Life Club started actually last year.
Okay.
We had about 80 members sign up, and this year it has doubled to 160. So, but the voice is out, or the hope of the world is out. I think our students are realizing that to be pro Christ means to be pro life.
Mm-hmm.
And so,
amen. Yeah.
It was just a powerful experience for our students to see youths and adults from all over our country being on the same page, speaking out loud and strong and passionately that all life is holy and sacred, especially but the most vulnerable are unborn babies whose rights under law aren't really protected. And so the march for our kids and for myself, it was an uplifting kind of retreat experience. We all came back re-energized in our faith, our hope, and our love. My hope in our youth was re-energized. I'm seeing their passion and faith shine in the darkness
mm-hmm.
of our complex world. I saw our Catholic Church alive and young.
That's right. Yeah,
a difference in our world. So it was powerful and just a great experience. And the students are talking about it again. I mean, this year many of them plan to go back again. But our group has actually grown large, and we're debating how to do this. Are we going to take everybody back again, or do we separate it, or what are we going to do?
That's a great challenge to have.
Yeah, exactly.
That's
right.
Great. I know you guys filled up a whole bus last year, and I know there's some talk that you guys might also need another bus this year. So that's really great. And what would you say to? I know some other schools that are just starting their Respect Life Club in their high schools. What would you say to you know, entice them to get them excited for the March for Life 2012?
Yeah, I would say do not be afraid, as John Paul told us all the time, do not be afraid, cast out into the deep. You know, there are people out there that are hungry for this. I mean, students especially, our young are becoming more and more pro-life.
Mm-hmm.
As long as I've been teaching, the tide is definitely turning.
Right.
People are becoming more and more pro-life. Get the groups organized. You know, our church is behind this. Our mm-hmm. bishops are behind this. Our magisterium. It's a great experience. It will transform people, the young and the schools as well. It's nothing but a positive experience, I would say.
That's wonderful. So, how's your time looking there?
I could probably go for maybe another 5 or 10 minutes.
Okay. Wonderful. Yeah. So, you know, I was not there at the Macaulay talk, mm-hmm. but I did hear Leah, you know, and I did spend a lot of time with her in the car. And she is very prayerful. She's just, you know, she really wants to serve God, you know, and it's so beautiful, you know, to see that. And it's not easy, you know, because she's putting her story out there.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's kind of like like a post-abortive woman telling her story. You know, she's not post-abortive, but, you know, it's you're putting your past yeah. sins out
it's
for people
easy.
To see, you know, and mm-hmm. or to hear. And that can be challenging. So I wonder, you know, do you think that really resonated with the girls?
Yeah, you know what? They actually felt her story. I know mm-hmm. that, but there was a part that basically she actually broke down when she had that experience taking the pictures, and then just basically saw her soul
mm-hmm.
and then called her dad, you know, and young, and actually the young girls, they love their fathers. And that was a moment when many were, you know, touched and moved by how her dad came and rescued her, you know,
yeah.
being her hero. at that moment, and that really resonated strong. You know?
That resonated with the cardinal at our dinner, our benefit dinner, because I was sitting next to him, and he said, "Is her dad here?" And I'm like, "No."
Yeah.
Because I think he really wanted to go over and give him a hug or something, you know, or you know, he wanted to tell him, you know, good job, you know, as a father, you know, and we need more fathers like that.
Exactly.
I mean, we can all learn from her story, and that's why, you know, at the benefit dinner, her story resonated with so many people, whether priests or nuns or parents, you know, fathers, mothers, daughters, sons. It resonated with so many.
Yeah. I mean, her story is so real, and it's so true. You know, I think many of our youths, they are bombarded by TV, reality, TV programs, movies that are not real, that are not actually fulfilling that, basically. But there is another way of living your life, a living chastity, living chastely in your state of life. That is what will make you happy, you know. And that common message that, you know, our bodies are sacred, our bodies are holy, you know, our bodies are the temples of the Holy Spirit in Scripture. It's all over the place, you know, I mean, Paul's writings, you know, that our bodies are to be used for God's glory, not to be used and abused of anyone's pleasure, you know. Mm-hmm. They're supposed to be gifts in service, but to God and others. And that just resonated loud and strong, you know, and it's a powerful message. It's a truthful message, you know. And this message, I think, with her girls too, but the whole, I mean, issue of the dress too was kind of brought into perspective.
Deacon Sislo, we're going to head to a quick break.
Okay.
Can you join us for another few minutes, or do you need to run?
Okay. How long is the break?
we'll actually, you know, you need to get back to your class. So,
yeah.
Thank you for joining
Thanks
us,
so much, Deacon
Sislo. God bless your work at Mother McCauley. And when we return from our break, we're going to talk a little bit more about the March for Life, and then we're going to be joined by Scott McLarty. So stay tuned to more Life Talk.
Catholic New World has been your faith resource for well over a century. Archbishop Patrick Feehan recognized the need for a strong Catholic voice in 1892 and launched Chicago's first Catholic newspaper. Bishop Feehan named our Catholic newspaper using a theme from the Columbian Exposition, the New World that gave people hope for a brighter future. Today, the Catholic New World is better than ever. It's a rich and diverse resource for Chicagoland Catholics with stories of faith, hope, and inspiration. Cardinal Francis George and our team of columnists offer compelling insights on spirituality, catechesis, and evangelization. Visit our website at catholicnewworld.com. View our photo gallery, catch up on the latest news, and while you're there, subscribe to the Catholic New World or call 312-534-7777. Our look has changed, but we are still your faith resource. Subscribe now to the Catholic New World.
Welcome back to Life Talk. This is your host, Margie Mansko-Breen, Director of the Respect Life Office, and I'm joined in studio by Ray Pingoy, my Youth Outreach Coordinator. And Ray, I want you to just tell everybody, our listeners, how they can get more details on the March for Life, the pilgrimage to the March for Life.
Yeah, they can either call the office at 312-534-5355 and get more information about the March for Life pilgrimage. And also, they can visit our website at respectlifechicago.org. Again, respectlifechicago.org. lifechicago.org. I believe it's one of the first links over there. You can download the flyer, the registration forms and everything, and a parental consent forms. But it's all there. That's how they can find out more about it. Like I said, it's this January. It starts the 20th, and we will be back here on the 24th. The 20th is a Friday. We'll have a send-off mass at St. Lawrence O'Toole in Matteson, Illinois at 7:30. That's 7:30 p.m. So we're going to gather there at St. Lawrence, and then we should be on a road by 9.
Yeah, head out from there. Yeah. Hope for no snow. And then, yeah, definitely. And then you drive overnight.
Yeah, you drive overnight, and we get to D.C. area Saturday. Saturday sometime close to the noontime, and then we're going to go straight into pray in front of an abortion clinic in the Washington D.C. area. So we'll do a prayer vigil there the first thing, and then we'll get all settled in and head to the hotel, and lots more things up on the schedule there. But on Monday is the march itself, and we return soon after, sometime in close to the around 3 p.m. we'll start heading back to Illinois, and we should be back here Tuesday, January 24, around 7 a.m. 8 a.m. Time. But again, let's continue to pray for no snow and good weather. God's will be done.
Yeah, maybe it'll be 70 or something.
Yeah, right. Yeah.
Well, yeah, it's a great trip, and you know, you get time with the Cardinal. You get, you know, there's this wonderful youth rally at the Verizon Center with, you know, music, praise and worship, mass, all these young people, all these seminarians and nuns, and you know, it's just it's like a Catholic rock concert, you know, and it just feels like it. And then that wonderful time giving thanks at Mass, you know, right, praising God, worshiping the Lord. So, and just with the community, you know.
And you see the church is alive. And the church is young. It's great.
And even the older folks are really, they get into it. You know, the chaperones, you can see they, I love watching them try to do like the different like hand gestures.
We all turn into the youth when we're all there.
Oh, definitely. Well, hey, we are joined on the phone by the director of the Office for Peace and Justice. His name is Scott McLarty, and Scott is a fairly new director, and I'd like to welcome Scott to the show.
Thanks, Margie. Hi, Ray.
Good morning.
You're welcome. You got energy today? You're, you know, raring to go?
Oh, yeah, I've had my coffee.
Yeah. I was commenting about how I went to the mega, you know, coffee place, you know, it's like taking over the world, and I won't say the name, and it's got the Christmas cup already, you know, and I'm looking at it like, what?
Yeah, it's
Christmas. I know, it's just barely was Halloween.
Yeah. I mean, you know, what about the pumpkin lattes, you know, for Thanksgiving? So I guess we just, you know, completely skip through it. So I'm glad that you could join us, because I wanted to have you on the show for months now. You know, remember,
I know,
you've
I'm
been
excited that it's finally happening.
Yeah, it's awesome. Awesome. So thanks for taking the time. I know you have a, you know, busy morning, but I wanted you to share your experience about your experience on our pilgrimage to the March for Life in Washington, D.C. I know it was rough, and I know it's a pilgrimage, right? I mean, we were talking
exactly
about that earlier.
Pilgrimages are messy. You know, you can't expect everything to go well and everything to happen as you would expect. And that's not how God behaves in our lives anyway. We have to be open to the unexpected working of God. Amen. So
Yeah, I mean, Jesus Christ, you know, was open to the unexpected, even though he was, you know, he's God.
Exactly.
You know, when he was walking on the earth, you know, amongst, you know, the, you know, other human beings, you know, human beings are, you know, do the unexpected.
That's for sure.
So tell us a funny story about that bus heater breaking down.
Geez. I don't know if that's a funny story.
It wasn't funny at the time, that's for sure. It was freezing, and we had my my young daughter was just over a year old, but I think she was warmer and more comfortable than anyone else on that bus. She had, you know, everyone gave her all the blankets, and so she slept better than anyone else, I think. But despite the discomfort of a heater that was not working properly, it was eventually fixed, and it was really an incredible experience. It was my first time on the March for Life, and I'm convinced it will not be my last, although unfortunately I won't be able to go this year. But I fully support the experience and hope that every year our numbers go up and up and up.
Wonderful. And you went as a part of the St. Ignatius College Prep group, right?
Yes, I've been, I was, up until I got this job this summer, I was teaching theology at St. Ignatius for 8 years, and a colleague of mine, Steve Lord, in the Religious Studies Department, we started the Pro-Life Club and co-moderated it, and we went, I think, in 2 years from 7 students to almost, to over 30, almost 40 students going, and I was just talking to Steve the other day. I see I have an email waiting from him, actually, in my inbox, and I think they could have 65 this year.
Wow.
Oh, my goodness.
Wow. Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah.
That's awesome.
So it's looking, it's really looking great. I think the tide, in some ways, the tide is turning, and there's an increasing change of heart, a conversion of heart, recognizing the culture of death for what it is. It's so easy to have the culture of death kind of gussied up by Hollywood on TV, by celebrities. I was just on the radio the other day hearing about a young hip-hop artist who has an entire song out about abortion.
That's right, yeah.
And, you know, it's everywhere. And I think more and more people are seeing it for what it is. And that's a wonderful thing. It means our prayers are being answered.
Yeah. Once they hear the truth, I mean, the truth is so good. It tastes so good, you know?
Exactly.
Yeah. Well, we're going to head to a quick break. And when we return, we're going to continue this very interesting conversation with Scott. So stay tuned to more Life Talk.
Most interment arrangements at the 43 Archdiocese of Chicago cemeteries are made through a pre-need plan. Your thoughtful planning today is economically prudent and contributes to peace of mind for you and your loved ones. Catholic Cemeteries counselors are available at your convenience. For more information, call 708-449-6100. Catholic Cemeteries, serving the Catholic community since 1837.
If you haven't read the Catholic New World lately, you're in for quite a surprise. It's bigger, bolder, and better than ever before.
The Catholic New World is a rich and diverse resource for Catholics throughout the Archdiocese of Chicago. It carries stories of faith, hope, and inspiration. Our most read column is by Cardinal Francis George, our shepherd, teacher, and leader.
Our columnists provide support in spirituality and evangelization, and you'll want to browse the Around the Archdiocese page, your gateway to Catholic activities.
No matter how busy you are, stay connected to your church by visiting CatholicNewWorld.com and sign up to follow us on Twitter.
Go to CatholicNewWorld.com to view our photo gallery, catch up on the latest news, and to subscribe. Or call 312-534-7777.
Subscribe now, and a portion of your fee will go to the Archdiocesan school of your choice. It's your faith resource. Subscribe now to the Catholic New World. You're listening to Catholic Talk Radio in Chicago and the suburbs on Relevant Radio 950 AM.
Every Monday through Friday from 9 to 10 a.m., the Archdiocese of Chicago presents programming about the people, the issues, and the faith that affect all our lives. Thanks for staying with us here on Relevant Radio 950 a.m. Now again, the Catholic Community of Faith.
Welcome back to Life Talk. This is your host, Margie Mansko-Breen, and I'm joined in studio by Ray Pingoy and on the phone by Scott McLarty, Director for the Office for Peace and Justice for the Archdiocese. So, Scott, you know, it's just so exciting. You know, I really like to see all these high schools, you know, really getting on board and being excited about life, you know, consistently excited about life, you know, from conception all the way to natural death and everything in between, you know, the sanctity of life and you know, just respecting the dignity of the person. I mean, this is amazing stuff we're seeing here. What are your thoughts about the whole, I mean, I feel like there's this transformation going on in the church, especially with the youth. What did you see when you were at St. Ignatius?
Well, I saw kids who want to take their faith seriously and really want to be given the faith in its fullness. I think teenagers, high school students, they have a keen sense of inauthenticity when they're being given kind of a diet gospel that's, you know, not quite the whole thing. It's kind of being given to them in a way that, you know, adults think they might want it rather than for what it really is. And when they hear the gospel simply stated and clearly stated and forcefully stated, it finds a home in their hearts. And then we see the fruits of that and how they live their lives and their choices for where to go to college, what to major in, what jobs to take, where to spend their money and how, where to draw the line in terms of their personal lives, their relationships. I think that's the thing. We believe in one God, and so we believe in one moral law. And that law extends to every single aspect of our lives as human beings. We can't, you know, we'd love to be able to carve out a space, you know, whether it's in our bedrooms or whether it's in our pockets or in our wallets. We want to be able to carve out a space in which God isn't going to have anything to do with it. But the church constantly calls us to this idea that every aspect of our lives, from the physical to the spiritual, God is involved.
Yeah, and I mean, even when you look at the teachings that came from our late Holy Father, Blessed Pope John Paul II, you know, you see, you know, he was talking about the theology of the body or something, but it's really, he was giving us a lens to see the world through. So, you know, if you're making decisions about like economic policy, you know, justice issues, you know, you see a person on the street who needs help, you know, you're dealing with the abortion issue or something like that, you know, you can make good decisions.
Right.
Exactly.
Yeah. This is what the teens are. I'm sorry,
and
go ahead.
The church has something to say about all of those things.
Yeah.
And it's, you know, it's so beautiful. There's such a history in, and we've got to get the word out. And that's why it's so important that, you know, that you're, you know, we're working together on things,
right.
You know, that we can, you know, peace and justice and respect life can come together and work on issues. You know, abortion is a justice issue, you know, and there are issues like the death penalty that we can work on together. And look, it's banned in Illinois. We got to keep it banned, you know.
Exactly.
So it's really important that we're doing that. And actually the death penalty issue, that, you know, we were talking about Leah Darrow, who came and she spoke at our dinner and at a number of girls' high schools. And at St. John Bosco Parish, she spoke in the evening, and she shared the story about how the death penalty, actually a personal story of her grandfather being murdered. And when she was about 12 years old, she knew that person who killed her grandfather, who she loved so dearly, should not be killed.
Yeah, it's a powerful story. And she was, you know, when I met her at Mass here outside our offices, she told me that same story. And one of the interesting things about it is that she said that it was dealing with the question of the death penalty when she first became fully aware of what respect life means. It wasn't through the issue of abortion. And so I think one of the things we can take from that is that people come to come to a respect life position in all kinds of ways and from all kinds of issues. It's not always, you know, our starting point isn't always going to be abortion, nor will our end point always be abortion, but all of these issues kind of come together to create the fullness of what it is to respect life.
Definitely. And on that point, you know, we've been blessed by a ministry of your office, the Catholic Campaign for Human Development, at least the Chicago part of it, and with the collection, and we've received a grant again this year, and to start a new program. Last year we didn't really do this, but this year we're getting serious about it. We were told this has to be used as seed money for something new.
Yeah.
You know, and that's the goal of the collection, you know, that to give grants for new programs. So I'm like, okay, what do we do? We created a Gospel of Life Youth Leadership Training Program, and we're going to be starting our first meeting with the youth that we've signed up is November 13th, and we're really excited about it. And we're going to be exposing them to some great opportunities to learn, to network, to grow as a person in the faith, but also to be real leaders, and so that they can take the message of truth, you know, and that really will give them freedom and take it to their communities, and then, you know, to their peers when they're in school, you know. So when issues come up about abortion or, you know, sex ed, you know, promiscuity, all of that, and they can talk about it, and they can talk about it eloquently, you know. So we're really training them up. It's kind of a boot camp of sorts, but over the whole year, and that's because that it's all made possible because of this grant. So actually, we got to head to a quick break, but when we get back, we're going to talk more with Scott about CCHD and some of the really good works that they're doing. So stay tuned to more Life Talk.
This year, on November 26th and 27th, the Catholic Church all over the United States will begin celebrating the Mass using the English translation of the third edition of the Roman Missal. In much of the prayers, responses, and acclamations, this English translation will no doubt sound a bit different from what we're currently used to in the Mass. The question is, are you ready for these new words? The Office for Divine Worship invites you to a two-hour session of information and reflection, Praying the New Missal Texts, a workshop for all Catholics. There are several sessions scheduled through early November. For dates, times, and locations of the remaining workshops, go to www.odw.org or call 312-534-5153. Don't miss this opportunity for exploring the English translation of the third edition of the Roman Missal. Go to www.odw.org or call 312-534-5153.
Choosing an elementary school for your child is one of the biggest decisions you will ever make to shape your child's future. So why pick a Catholic school?
I want my kids to learn more than the three R's. They need a faith-based education so they make good decisions.
I want my son and daughter to go to college. At Catholic schools, attendance and graduation rates are nearly 100%. And when these kids graduate, they go to college.
My teacher is so cool. She knows who I am. She helps me when I have trouble figuring things out.
My son is in the number. The student-teacher ratio is 18 to 1, and Catholic school teachers are really dedicated.
I want my daughter to feel welcome, to be safe.
The test scores are well above the national average. Look out, college. Here they come.
Go to www.archchicago.org and click on Schools to learn more about the great benefits of a Catholic education. Invest in your child's future. Make your child a winner for life.
Welcome back to Life Talk. This is your host, Margie Breen of the Respect Life office, and I'm joined in studio by Ray Pingoy and on the phone by Scott McLarty, Director for the Office for Peace and Justice for the Archdiocese of Chicago. So, Scott, You know, back to the Catholic Campaign for Human Development. I mean, there. I got to tell you, when I went to the grant agreement meeting where we signed the agreement, mm-hmm. I got to tell you, that was an amazing experience, you know, and I've never been to that meeting. So last year I was not there. Ray went to that meeting. And, you know, you guys went through the agreement and, you know, read through it word by word. For word, and it was totally
no question
yeah, about it. It was totally Catholic. Solidly Catholic, you know, 100%. And I was just like, wow. And see, I don't think people know that. You know, they don't realize how solid, you know, CCHD is, and how important the work is that many of these groups do. But you know, especially the, you know, our little grant, you know, I mean, it's a substantial grant, but you know, our little piece of that pie, you know, we're so excited about, and so many young people are going to be affected by it positively, and you know, praise God for that. And so people who are listening, just I want them to know that, look, it's being used properly. You know, the money is being used properly by the Office for Peace and Justice, you know, managing the process. And so I wanted to get that out there, because there's a little bit of, well, confusion, and there needs to be clarity on the issue.
Exactly.
So I just want you to, you know, I know there's a lot of confusion, and, you know, what are some things that you could say other than what I said to set the record straight?
Well, I appreciate your kind and true words about CCHD. That first C stands for Catholic, and we mean that. And we take that role very seriously. And let me just say, too, that the Catholic Campaign for Human Development is not an Office for Peace and Justice program. It's not an Archdiocese of Chicago program. It is the program of the U.S. bishops, mm-hmm. all of them together, to try to alleviate poverty, the cycle of poverty in the United States. Just like CRS, Catholic Relief Services, is their program for helping to alleviate global poverty.
Yeah.
And so every step of the way, the bishops are involved. We do not approve a single grant. Actually, Cardinal George approves all of our grants. We, of course, do all the legwork and the investigations and have all the talks with our potential and current grantees. And Cardinal George trusts us, but he looks through everything. You know, he's not just a rubber stamp. He takes his job in approving these grants very seriously. And as you said, unfortunately, there is a lot of confusion, mostly because of misinformation out there. And there are allegations that CCHD has funded organizations that are in conflict with Catholic teaching. And, of course, a few years ago, we have to be honest that that did occur. And it's a gift from the Church for those types of things to be brought to our attention so that we can fix them and make sure it doesn't happen again.
Mm-hmm.
And we welcome all of that information. If anyone knows or thinks they know of a group that's being funded that shouldn't, please give our office a call and let us know so that we can look into it. But the fact remains that alleviating poverty is something that is part of the gospel call. It's part of our baptismal call. We cannot say that we are gospel people if we're not working to build up a more just society and a just economy. As Archbishop Dolan said recently to his brother bishops, it is an essential part of our work as Catholics to build a more just society and economy. We feed the hungry, shelter the homeless, educate the young, welcome refugees, and care for the sick and vulnerable. Our Church serves and stands in solidarity with those who are poor and jobless, helping them break the cycle of poverty and act on behalf of their own families and communities.
That's great. Yeah, and that's the thing, like, why, you know, some people maybe wonder, well, why does the Chastity Education Initiative get a grant? But, you know, to teach these young people to be strong leaders on the issue of chastity and pro-life, where they can take it, well, for one thing, they can embrace chastity, mm-hmm. and so that they don't get pregnant outside of marriage and end up most likely in a life that is in poverty, you know, and mm-hmm. and then their, you know, children grow up and, you know, a lot of times perpetuate that cycle. It happens. It's seen. It's in statistics. It's unfortunate. But if we can break that and, you know, teach them how to then take the message to their peers, and then they can help those folks embrace a life of purity and chastity and pro-life, then we hope that they break the cycle of poverty for some of those families that are in low-income situations. So, you know, it really is all connected.
Exactly. So we're trying to work at every stage of life to prevent the cycle of poverty, to make sure that people don't enter into a cycle, and for those who are already in that cycle of poverty to help them break it and get out of it. And not in a paternalistic way where we come in and say, oh, we have the solution for you. But according to the logic of subsidiarity, where we help, we ask the poor what they need. Mm-hmm. We cannot presume to know what the poor needs, especially because the poor is not a monolithic group. There are different kinds of poverty, different sources of poverty, different reasons that poverty continues. And so we need to be open and flexible in how we treat these issues.
Well, we're going to need to head to a quick break. And when we return, we're going to talk a little bit more with Scott on this very interesting topic of the Catholic Campaign for Human Development. So stay tuned to more Life Talk.
You're invited to watch The Church, the Cardinal, and You this weekend on cable television. Here's host Graziano Marcheschi.
During the next half hour, we'll take you to World Youth Day in Madrid, where 1.5 million young adult Catholics from around the globe gathered in prayer and celebration with the Holy Father. We'll attend a multi-faith 9/11 memorial service 10 years after that fateful day. And we'll visit with the man who heads our vocations office and find out what he's doing to foster vocations within the Archdiocese.
For several interesting stories about the Archdiocese, please watch The Church, the Cardinal, and You this weekend on cable television. Go to www.archchicago.org and click on Radio TV for the time and cable channel in your area. That's www.archchicago.org. The Church, the Cardinal, and You. Compelling television about your archdiocese.
Game with the Catholic Charities Junior Board for a good cause. Saturday, November 12th is the Junior Board's signature fundraiser, and we hope you'll join us. The 5th annual Charities Royale Casino Night and Silent Auction will take place at the beautiful St. Ignatius College Prep. We have an A-list lineup with live music by Underwater People, delicious food from Cafe Bianda, 3 open bars, blackjack, craps, roulette, an incredible lineup of silent auction and raffle items, including 2 trips to the Bahamas, and much more. Tickets are only $80 and are on sale now at CatholicCharities.net/JRBoard. This black tie optional event is open to anyone over the age of 21. More than half of your ticket price will go directly to the Catholic Charities Emergency Assistance Programs, providing food, clothing, shelter, and other crucial emergency services to the poorest of the poor in Cook and Lake Counties. Game with us for a good cause. For details, call Lisa at 312-655-7932 or visit CatholicCharities.net/JRBoard.
Welcome back to Life Talk. This is your host, Margie Breen, and I'm joined in studio by Ray Pingoy and on the phone by Scott McLarty of the Office for Peace and Justice. And Scott, we were talking about CCHD and the structure and, you know, just all about the, you know, the process, and that it's totally, you know, a Catholic ministry. Mm-hmm. You know, when you think about it, it is empowering local groups to, you know, charities, nonprofits, to do important work in different areas. Like I remember actually on the website, on the USCCB's website under CCHD, they were highlighting I was checking it out last night. They were highlighting a group, and I can't remember the name of it, but that offers prenatal care to low-income women who are expecting a child. And I was just like, that is so pro-life, you know? And I think people, you know, those who criticize, you know, who want to politicize the church, you know, you know, they, I think they mean well, but they're, I don't know if they just want to fight. I don't know. I just, we got to pray for, you know, that people come, you know, come together and realize that we've got to work together to make the church work well, you know, and not try to just poke and pick, you know, and but I think it's our culture, you know. I think we tend to do that. We pull down celebrities, you know, and you know, everything is permissible, but nothing is forgiven, is what, you know, the cardinal says about our society.
Yeah, and we live in an either-or society. We like to propose easy dichotomies. If you're, you know, you're either with us or against us. You're in one party or the other. You're, you know, the Catholic answer is always both and. And, you know, that's the truth, but it is more complicated, more difficult, but it is the truth. And so even though, you know, you and I, we have two different offices, we're on two separate floors at the Meyer Center, ultimately we are one, and we are one with all the other offices in the Archdiocese. And there are those on, you know, whatever side of whatever spectrum you want to identify who would like to see us as two separate offices having nothing to do with each other.
Yeah, and that's unfortunate. I mean, we all have our work to do. You know, we have our issues that we're assigned, you know, that really we've got to focus on. But, you know, there are times where we need to be supporting each other and sometimes working together on an issue because maybe it's an important issue. And I see that's how... when we are unified, we will be this tremendous block, you know, that will just fight for the church and for freedom, you know, and religious liberty. But I want to let you go because you have a 10 o'clock meeting, I believe.
I do.
And I'm looking
do.
At my clock here. but I wanted just to thank you for being with us this morning and just sharing. And we're definitely going to have you back on in the future. So,
I hope so.
We'll just do some planning and talk about, you know, having you back again in the very near future because it was such an interesting conversation with you. You're very knowledgeable on things, you know, Catholic. So thank you so much and God bless you in your ministry.
Thank you so much. I really appreciate the opportunity to come on. And let me just say one last thing, a reminder to everyone that this Catholic Campaign for Human Development's collection is this month, November 19th and 20th. And so your generosity at Masses on the weekend of the 19th and 20th of this month is really going to go a huge distance in helping alleviate poverty for our fellow human beings in the city of Chicago and around the Archdiocese. So thank you very much for your generosity. Thank you for having me on the show.
Oh, you're welcome.
And I hope to be back soon.
Sounds great. God bless and have a great day.
You too.
Thanks.
Bye, Ray.
Take care, Scott.
Great. Yeah. So Scott really has a lot of information,
yeah.
You know.
I promise also, Scott, that St. Ignatius College Prep will have a heated bus this year.
Yeah, we have we signed up with a new bus company, so we're excited.
Yeah.
And there's going to be Wi-Fi on the buses. So, you know, if people are bringing their computers, that is a definite plus. So if people don't have, if they don't have built in like their own Wi-Fi on their computer, they can connect through the bus. So that'll be great.
Yeah.
And are we going to show some videos too?
Yeah, we will. We definitely will. We'll, I'm still searching for a good movie to for all the buses to watch. But if you have any suggestions, call us in the office. I want to actually promo again the pilgrimage to Washington, D.C. I'm not sure if I told everyone the price per person is $275. That includes the round trip transportation to Washington, D.C. And then also a two-night stay at the Hyatt Crystal City. hotel there. In, I believe it's in Virginia, correct? It's just a
yes. It's in Crystal City.
Yeah, it's in Crystal City, and then of course also, you know, that includes the March for Life itself, the tours and everything, and the youth rally and all that stuff. But yes, you can find out more information about it. RespectLifeChicago.org. All the forms are there. You can download and print. But again, it's on January 20 through 24. That's January 20 through January 24 of 2012.
Wonderful. So we are almost out of time here for our October edition, our November edition. Sorry,
it's November. Yeah.
I'm like, wait, what's going on here? Our November edition of Life Talk, and so we'll see you in December. And so you know, please do have a happy November and a happy,
right.
Thanksgiving.
Happy Thanksgiving to all.
And remember to tune in on the first Wednesday of every month from 9 to 10 a.m. for a lively discussion, as you can see, lively of issues that will make a difference in your life, the sanctity of life, the dignity of the person. So for Ray Pingoy, this is your host, Margie Mansko-Breen. Have a safe and happy November, and God bless you.
This is Cardinal Francis George. Thank you for being with us this past hour on Relevant Radio 950 AM. Join us every day, Monday through Friday, as the Archdiocese of Chicago presents the Catholic Community of Faith. Have a wonderful day, and God bless you.